The following was at the Mount Zion meeting, the second Sunday in May, 1973.
Just a short while before leaving home, coming over here this morning, a verse of scripture came to my mind quite suddenly. And I had been wondering what, if anything, I might use for the text this morning, and I didn't have any. I had nothing on my mind until this came. I hope that it is from the Lord, and if it is, He's able to open it up to me and to you, and enable us to consider some of these deep, wonderful, glorious things that He has revealed. You may be surprised if I tell you that it's the first verse in Genesis, in the first chapter, of course. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Just that. And then there were some other things that pertain to the beginnings of God's work with His people that are connected directly with these things. If the Lord's will, I'd like to talk about these things. But I realize I'm in His hands, as you are. And if it's His will that I should speak, He is able to enable me. If it is His will that you should hear and rejoice, He's able to do that also. Now may we look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, we confess that we have been made to realize that we are helpless creatures. That in us, that is in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. But if we're not deceived, Thou hast done wonderful and great things for us, which Thou hast revealed to us through the workings of Thy blessed and Holy Spirit in our hearts, brought us to see that we were unable of ourselves to do anything that was well-pleasing in Thy sight. Though we tried hard, and yet everything that we did proved to be a failure, in the light of those things that Thou hast been pleased to reveal to us. We give Thee thanks, O Lord, that we've been made to realize that we're different now from what we once were. Our thoughts are quite different. We've made to realize and to consider often who make Thee to differ one from another. What hast Thou that Thou hast not received? We realize, O Lord, that we are nothing except what Thou hast made us. For it is by Thy grace we know that we are what we are. And we feel to realize that something wonderfully great has taken place in us in days past, sometimes daily. For we feel to realize that Thou who hast commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of our God in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. Without this, O Lord, without being quickened as we were and as all of Thy people are by Thy Spirit, to see ourselves as hell-deserving sinners, we would still be striving, working to do the impossible things which we were ignorant of, but thought we could accomplish. By keeping the law, doing what we thought was good, doing what we thought that Thou didst require of Thy people to do in order to gain Thy favor. And, O Lord, we found that it wasn't that way. That all of our works were failures. And when Thou didst bring us utterly to the end of our own strength, and made us to realize that we were, of all men, most miserable, that we were not worthy even of thy notice, and yet thou hast noticed us, and thou hast brought us out of great tribulation, brought us up out of an horrible pit that we were in our flesh, put our feet upon a rock, established our goings, put a new song in our mouths. And from that day to this, O Lord, our desires have all been that we might praise and adore and exalt the name of the only true and the living God. I give thee thanks, O Lord, that thou hast led us to this place this morning. We know that in days past that thou hast enabled thy people here to worship thee. And we're glad, we feel glad that thou hast maintained the doctrine of our God, of God our Savior, so that that faith that thou hast delivered to thy people is yet contended for and believed and being made rejoice in by thy people. And we humbly hope, Lord, it may be thy will that in the days to come that thou wilt yet continue to bless those that shall meet here, that they also may contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. But thou rememberest, O Lord, in our daily lives, oh, thou knowest our trial, tribulation, trouble, sorrows, affliction, things come up that we know not how to deal with, how to handle. And thou knowest our oft cries to thee for grace to help in our times of need. But thou be with us, O Lord, as we live. We know that thou hast sustained this, our mortal lives here in this world until now. Thou hast furnished all the things that have been necessary. We realize sometimes that they've all come from thee. And we realize it is by thy grace, O Lord, that we've been kept by the mighty power of our God. And we feel confident, as thou hast days past revealed to us thy power and thy glory and thy mercy, that thou wilt be with us all the way, because thou hast said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wilt thou therefore, O Lord, hear our cries, though we feel to realize that they are oftentimes so very feeble. We acknowledge we don't know how to pray and what to pray for. But we're glad that the Spirit maketh intercession for thy people, the groanings which cannot be uttered. We're glad that our blessed Savior has prayed for his people. He's not prayed for the world, but for those that thou didst give him, Father, out of the world. And he prayed that thou wouldst keep them in the world. O Lord, be thou with us all of the days. Remember our families as far as it is consistent with thy will. We know that thou art able to teach, and that thou dost teach through thy Spirit truth to all of thine own people. We know that we're not able to teach, we were not able to learn or teach ourselves. And so we know that we, and together with all of mankind, are in thy hands. Be with us, Father, in mercy. Forgive us our sin. And when we have finished serving thy righteous will and purpose for each one of us in this life, take us unto thyself, and there enable us to render all praise and honor and glory unto that one true and living God in that world that shall not end. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. As I so very often am, my brother, now I read a text and I don't know what to do with it, so to speak. I don't know how to begin. But there's one thought that came into my mind. Maybe that might be a beginning. Do you realize now that this first verse that God enabled to Moses to write, to leave upon record for us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, is the only authentic account of the creation of the heaven and the earth. Think about it for a moment. So-called wise men, wise some of them in their own conceits, wise in many ways pertaining to the things of this world, having the spirit of man in them, as God has given the spirit of man to all of the Adam family, and they have sought out many inventions where they do not understand the scriptures. They have undertaken to change them or to apply them in such a way that as seems right to men. But David said, the end thereof is always a death. Men would have us to believe, even the great so-called religious leaders in the world today, and have been for the last few centuries, they would have us to believe that this world began as some infinitesimal, very small something, and finally grew to what it is now. And even the children of God, if you will think about it for a moment with me, the children of God often have questions in their mind concerning these things. But we're told in the Apostles' letter to the Hebrews, if I could find it, to the Hebrew brethren. Oh yes, here, I had put a marker there, I see it now. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now this is what I want to call your attention to. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I have long been brought to this understanding, my brother, that faith, being the substance of things hoped for, that God gives us faith in which we are enabled by that faith to believe implicitly in all the things that God has revealed through holy men of old. We believe that implicitly, however greatly it may differ with the things that seem right to men. Now we would not, we could not believe. As just so far as our natural man is concerned, we could not believe that God created the heavens and the earth, except that God has revealed in our hearts and said through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We've often heard the expression that God made everything out of nothing. And I feel to believe, my brethren, that God created these things. And before the creation, it would not be wrong to say that he did create all things out of nothing. Because God is the creator. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the beginner. And there was no other beginner except as we have it given to us. I want to turn to that too. I believe in John. Yes. First chapter of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and where they were made by Him, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I have turned to the first chapter of Hebrews, who says, God at sundry times and in divers manners has spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Now, I'm not going to try to differentiate between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, because it would be a futile attempt. Because we know, we're taught, though a lot of people don't believe, that these three are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And so it was God's will that in the beginning, and then especially when He created man, formed man, the dust of the earth, He says, let us make man. I don't know of anyone to whom He was speaking, save His Son Jesus Christ. I don't know of anybody else. Jesus was always with the Father. He was with Him when the morning stars sang for glory, you remember? He was always with the Father. Never been a time when He wasn't with the Father. And so the beginning of all things natural came from the hand of God the Father and God the Son. And I'm going to include God the Holy Ghost, because these three are one. So this is the beginning. Everything had its beginning from the hand of our God. And not only had its beginning, but it was God's will before the beginning, if I shall put it that way. He had a purpose in creating the heavens and the earth and the forming of all things therein. He had that purpose in it. So that being an unchangeable God, He has sustained these things by His mighty power from the very beginning of the creation until this day. And He will continue to uphold all the things that He began to do and commanded before the world began, manifested when the world began. So that today we see the sun, the moon, and the stars as God placed them in the skies, if we may call it that. That they're all on scheduled time. That men can be contrary as much as they want to be. God has put these in their orbits, and He has sustained them. He has sustained them, and they are still going the appointed round, so that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, the work of God, the glory of God. Maybe we don't see these things or understand them very often. And maybe some people never see them or understand them. But I feel quite certain that you, each one of you, have sometimes stood upon a clear night and beheld the starry sky, so to speak. The millions and millions upon top of millions, uncountable, that God placed in the skies and the heavens, and all are there to accomplish His appointed purpose for them. So you see, I believe, and so do you believe, that God has a purpose in all things whatsoever shall come to pass. He's an unchangeable God. So in the beginning, there was nothing before the beginning except our God. But in that beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you see, it was God that created and God that formed. God put it into shape. God set it all in motion. And now in time, my brethren, He has a people whom He ordained before the world began that they should come forth in the ordinary generations of Adam and Eve, whom He should love with an everlasting love. This is a part of the eternal will and the purpose of our God. This is a part of it. Everything that is a part of God's eternal will and purpose. Everything. You say, well, I have many doubts and fears, and I tremble so much. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know whether the things that I have experienced are from God or not. But mistake it not, my brethren. The Lord is always with you. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. This is God. Everywhere present. Nowhere absent. If we could conceive for a moment the infinite wisdom and power and glory of our God, we would understand how He created, He spoke the world into existence. By faith we understand the worlds, as we read. By faith we understand it. Without faith, which is God-given, the children of God would be just like everybody else in this world. We would be listening to the scientists talk. We would be listening to them talk. Leading not only as the earth was formed out of just some small matter, as they would say, and it's grown and grown and grown. But not only that, but they say that man has evolved from some small one-cell organism. And they're teaching men that God was not the creator of the heavens and the earth, that these things have always been, and that's all they knew about it. There has to be, my brethren, friends, there has to be a beginning of all things so far as we can understand. And the beginning of man in the world was not evolving from some low order or some monkey or something like that. But by faith, the same faith that causes us to know that God created the heavens and the earth, we simply believe, without a shadow of doubt, the account that Moses gave, saying that God formed man of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the origin of man. Men can have many theories and schemes and teach many things and draw many conclusions. And yet when they're finished, They have nothing but speculation to base their conclusions upon. While the child of God and those who are given to believe, they have a firm foundation, because here is the word of God that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And here is the word of God that says that God created man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So do you realize, my brethren and friends, that what we are by the breathing of the breath of life into our bodies, we are living souls? That's what we are. Man became a living soul. There are many things that are said about the soul. I feel that there are many things that are said about the soul that the scriptures do not uphold. Many things about these things that I, of course, don't understand. But I go back to this: man became a living soul. And we also have it said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now we can't go farther than that. This is God's word. This is God's word. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I hope, my friends and brethren, that by just making these statements, I don't know whether I can follow them out or not, but making these statements will stir up something in your very inmost being to cause you to search the word of our God. It would be God's will to open it up to you. You know, it is said that the Bereans were more noble than some of those others that were times, I believe, because they search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so or not. Now we have this got in the beginning. That's the beginning. We are the beginning of humanity in the world at the hand of God. Now, my brethren, there's another beginning I think of now that I should like to bring to your thought. That God has determined in his infinite wisdom that his people shall be born of the Spirit, because they have nothing in this flesh, but that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And God has determined, it was God's will, that his people should be born of the Spirit. Therefore, he said to Nicodemus, you know, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is because that we have been, by the grace of God, born to the Spirit of God, and faith being one of the fruits of God's Spirit, it is by God's faith, given us faith, that we believe, that we are assured. And there's no question in our minds. He that denies that God created the heavens and the earth lacks, in the very beginning of his statement, he lacks being born of the Spirit of God, because if he were born of the Spirit of God, he would believe. He would have faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. He would have faith to believe the scriptural account of God forming man of the dust of the earth. But now you know, the Apostle Paul, in writing of these wonderful and glorious things, he said, I should quote him from Philippians, I believe it is, being confident in this very thing, another beginning, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I then say that it is possible, and it's up to everybody to believe and to be born of the Spirit of God. They believe that they can be born of the Spirit of God. But the word of God itself, through the apostle, said, be confident of this very thing, the thing he's talking about, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God begins the work. Yes, he begins the work. It's another beginning of God. All things have their beginning in the eternal will and the purpose of our God. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it. It leaves men just where they are before that God has begun the work in them. Leaves them dead in sins, having nothing but their flesh and their carnality and their mortality. But God has ordained that men shall be born of the Spirit. And you know it's a mystery. Of course you do. It's a mystery. You have a mystery in your life. Because when God was talking to Nicodemus about these matters, and Nicodemus was questioning him, he didn't believe, he couldn't see it at all. And God gives him to understand, as he gives us to understand in the language there, that the wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of Spirit. No wonder the apostle was saying, being confident of this very thing, that he that had begun a good work in you will perform it. Because the man himself is dead in trespasses and in sin, without God, without hope in the world. But God has loved his people, and he brings every one of those of his people whom he loved before the world began and chosen his Son Jesus Christ. He brings them to that new birth. He makes them to understand the mystery of godliness. Yes. How that it is God that begins in the heart, begins in the very being of those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And so the apostle said, he was confident, no question about it, confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, God has confirmed these things by his apostles and the writers of this book. He's confirmed them by in his people, individual. He's confirmed them in you. He confirmed it in Peter, you remember, when he said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He confessed that, he believed that, he understood that to be true. And no wonder he understood it to be true. Because Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood. Man hasn't done it. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to thee. But my Father, which is in heaven. And so you see, my brethren, we preach and we believe the scriptures are full of the beginnings of the creation of God. The beginning of the heavens, and the heaven it is, and the earth. God was the beginner of it. He was the former of it. He was the maker of it. He is the creator of it. And he was the one that determined that he loved his people and gave his Son to redeem it. This is one of the hardest things that I've ever understood, to try to understand it, how that the eternal God of heaven could love sinners such as you and I are, such as we are, could love us with such a love, and endure the fact that we were sinners and had sinned, committed all manner of sin, broken the laws of our God, unworthy even of his notice, as I love to say, because I've felt it so many times. But God is pleased, brethren and friends, to give his only begotten Son, to give him for you. Think about it. Can you understand it? I can. Only as Jesus gave the answer, the only answer that I know that has been given that ought to satisfy anybody, everybody that readily can understand it. When Jesus said, I thank thee, Lord God of heaven and of earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. My brethren, God has not made plain that salvation is by the grace of God alone to anybody except the subjects of grace, to nobody except those that he chose in his Son before the world began, and nobody in the world believes it except the Lord's people who have been brought out of so great a darkness and come under the influence of the Spirit and the power of God, so that God has given them hope. And they realize that we're sinners, that they're sinners. They realize that the sentence of death is upon them. And sometimes we get to be afraid. Sometimes we would put these things off, push them from us. And yet we see these things all around us. But what is your hope? God has given us that which stays us, keeps us in this life. The Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, talking about the hope, he says, which hope we have is the anchor soul. Sure and steadfast, and he says it enters into that within the veil. Where our forerunner, even Jesus, has entered for us, who was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So this is the way. This is the way that God has, my brethren, of dealing with you, with his people, and has had this way in all ages of the world and will continue to have, so that it brings them out of their darkness in their flesh, deals with them, reveals to them, as he did to Peter, as I said, that Jesus is the Christ, gives them hope of eternal life. And this hope that you have is the anchor. I don't know of anything else in this world, my brethren, that is the anchor of the soul, save that hope that God has given unto his people. That we may have lots of money. We may have sufficient money for all of our needs. But that doesn't reach any further than this life. You lie down in death, we shall. So lie down in death and leave all these things behind. We may have the finest farm in this whole country. And we may be proud of it. We may have the finest home in this world. We may be proud of it. But we're going to leave it. God gives it. I think sometimes God lends it to us. Just as long as we're here. It seems to me like that's true. And then he takes it away from us by removing us from the need of it. What does he leave us with? That hope, my brethren, which is the anchor. It is fastened not in anything worldly, not in anything natural, surely not in the works of men, but it enters into that within the veil where Jesus is. It's anchored in Jesus. That's where he is. It's anchored in him and the revelation that he has done great things for us, so that we confidently look to him as the very one who has obtained all things for us that we could not obtain by any works of our own. And I love to think about it. I'm scattering around, I realize. I love to think about it. And we're told that Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He arose for our justification. Brethren, before you and I or any man, any person, can ever stand in the midst or in the presence of our God, there must be justification. And all the work Everything that you and I can do will never justify us. The man is about to be hanged, you know, for an illustration. He might cry, he might promise to do better, he might do this, that, and the other. And yet justice is inflexible, he must die. He cannot justify, he cannot do anything to justify himself, he's a guilty sinner. But God prepared in the person of his own son the sacrifice which was sufficient to justify everyone that the Father gave him, to justify him and to make him clean, every whit clean. Make him clean so that there's no charge ever can be brought against those unto whom the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed. And when Jesus comes, I believe that the scripture would tell us, "Here they are, Father, all that thou hast given me, I lost nothing save the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Yes, my brethren. What Jesus has done for us and what Jesus has done for all of his people is enumerated in that which is called the New Covenant, in which God said in the last of that, he said, "I will write my laws in their hearts and put them in their minds. I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. And man shall no more teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them." And then he winds it up by saying, "Their sins and their iniquities I will remember against them no more." That's what Jesus did. He justified us in such a way we stand in his justification, my brethren, just as clean, without sin or spot or wrinkle or any such thing, as if we had never sinned. Can you imagine such a power in the Son of God that could take poor sinners such as we realize we are? And with God's will to give him to die for us and to be raised from the dead for us. Can we imagine it? So what I've tried to say today, my friends and brethren, that all the things, the beginning of all things, was in the hands of our God. Not only natural things, not only this earth we see here around about us, not only the inhabitants of the earth. God began those things, he made them. He began those things which are necessary to bring his people into the knowledge of the truth, into the spiritual kingdom, being born to the Spirit of God. It was God that began it. Everything, my brethren and friends, that we can think of has its beginning in God the Father, in God the Son, in God the Holy Ghost. Can you think of anything that God isn't controlling, that God didn't make, form, create? You can't think of anything. We think sometimes that they've been having some terrible storms out in the Midwest. Several people have been killed. I wonder about it, so do you. But I've never heard anybody complain. I never have. The newspapers never complain. Nobody's ever complained. When there are floods, when there are things that destroy so many things and drown many people, kill many people, I never heard anybody complain that God did it. He wasn't just for not doing it. I never had. There may be some that do. I don't know. But our faith is, my brethren, our faith is God-given faith, that we believe that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? If you believe that, the Lord, through his Spirit, has been in you, has been working in your heart. And he has begun a work, and he will finish that work. He will keep you all your days that you have left in this world. There's a time to be born, you know, time to die, time to every purpose under the heavens. It's all in our God's hands. May He have all the praise, the honor, and the glory forever and forever.